Amen. God, put your word to work on us on this morning. We're going to turn somewhere, amen, that you may need the ministry of health to find. But it's in your Bible, trust me. It's the book of Amos. Amen. I don't know when the last time you may have visited Amos, but it's probably been a good minute, amen. But we're going to go to the book of Amos chapter 7 today. Amen. We're going to the book of Amos chapter 7. We thank God, amen, for his word. Amen. Book of Amos. Old Testament. Amen. Old Testament prophet. And we're going to look at verse number 7. Chapter 7, verse number 7. And we're going to read down to verse number 9 on this morning. Amen. So, if everybody has that, let's look at it together. Book of Amos, chapter 7. Verse 7 says this: "Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword." We're going to stop right there for now. Amen. Let's pray today, amen. Let's pray together that we hear God's voice and we hear it clearly. Father, we come before you now, desiring nothing else but to hear your voice and to hear your word. Father, we need a word from you on today, a word that will light our pathway, a word, O God, that will give us revelation, O God, onto various issues in our lives, things that are going on right now. We thank you that you are an on-time God. We pray for an on-time word in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for a word for this very hour. So, Father God, we just ask you to speak today. Speak, O God, with authority and with power. Speak today, O God, with clarity and with boldness. Speak today, God, and cause us to understand what thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
Father, we give you praise right now that your word feeds and sustains us, that your word prospers us, that your word propels us forward into the great destiny that you have for us. Yes. And so, Father, we ask that you will have your way. Let your word go forth now. Father, I pray that all of us will hear what you are speaking today. And I pray, God, that you will use me as your vessel to communicate your word to our hearts. To you we give the praise and the thanks right now for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to look at this again. Amos chapter 7, verse number 7, reading down to verse 9. "Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword." That's the word of God on this morning, amen. And our title today is Prepare to Meet Your God. Amen. prepare to meet your God. Let's look at the a couple of things here in the scripture text today. First of all, we're in the book of Amos, and as we said, amen, we know that there are 66 books in the Bible, but we don't read all of them, do we? When was the last time you read some Obadiah? When's the last time, amen? When's the last time you were studying Zechariah? Amen. Nahum. Habakkuk. Some people, amen, I've heard this said, and I can't believe this, amen. Some people who I know who, believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ, they say, I don't read the Old Testament. I read all this word, amen, because I believe all this word is as relevant today as when it was first written.
True.
Amen. And so we thank God for the Old Testament. Amen. I read Genesis to Malachi, amen, because, amen, all this word is good. But it's understandable, amen. Sometimes the prophets are hard to grasp, amen. It's hard to fully get an understanding and an appreciation of what the prophet is saying. But Amos is an interesting character because Amos, although he is a prophet, amen, and although he was prophesying to Israel, the northern kingdom, Amos was not a prophet by vocation. Amos was a shepherd. When you look at the first chapter of the book of Amos, amen, it tells us the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa. He was a shepherd. And we're going to see in a little while, amen, that after he pronounced judgment on Jeroboam and on Israel, the high priest Amaziah came to Amos and told him he needs to keep quiet. Because, see, Amos wasn't from Israel. He wasn't from the northern kingdom. He was from Tekoa. He was from Judah. He was from the northern kingdom. You know, the kingdom, the southern kingdom. They were split. Amen. And so he was from the south. But God called him from following his flock, Amos's flock, and gave him a word for the northern kingdom. To go up to Israel and to prophesy. And Amaziah didn't like this, amen. And he's the high priest, and he said unto him, he said, listen, he said, don't prophesy around here anymore. Why don't you go home? Isn't that something? You ever been told in so many words to go home when you were trying to share God's word with somebody? They might not have told you specifically, go home. But they were telling you, get out of my face with that stuff. You ever had that? You try to share a word with somebody and they just don't want to hear it. And they just tell you, they let you know you are not welcomed here. Amos wasn't welcome because here he comes, amen. He comes from his town and in Judah, and he comes up to Israel, and he starts telling Israel that God is going to destroy this nation. And they didn't want to hear that. And Amos, when Amaziah said this to him, amen, Amos, and you look down in verse number 14 of chapter 7, he says, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son. I don't come from a lineage of prophets. I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't have any formal training. I didn't get a certificate or a degree. I don't have any of those things. Look what he says. But I was a herdman. I was a shepherd, man. All I was doing was minding my business, tending to my flock. And then he says, and I was a gatherer of sycamore fruit. I was a simple man living a simple life. Verse 15. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. So here I am. No training, no background, no lineage. But God in his sovereignty put his hand on me and took me from this simple life, from following the flock and gathering fruit, and put a word in my mouth for the people. Be careful who you decide who you want to hear from, based on their background, based on their degrees, based on where they went to school, based on all these other superficial things that God cares nothing about. How many of you know, if God can speak through a mule, and if he can speak through a lowly shepherd with no training, how many of you know he can speak through you too?
Amen.
Amen. He can put a word in your mouth, not just for another person, but for a nation.
Yeah.
If that's too big for you, just expand your faith and understand God is able. Amen. God is no respecter of person. He did it for Amos. I'm not saying he's going to do it for you, but I'm saying that he can. Amen.
Amen.
Don't think of little old you. I have no training. So what? God can put a word in your mouth that will cause a stir across the globe. Do you believe that? Amen. Now, I said God can. There are too many people, though, who think God already done it. And they're saying stuff that don't even make any sense. All over the internet, acting like they dropping knowledge. They act like they co-authored the book. You ever come across people who they act like they co-authored the Bible? Yeah. They know it so well, they tell God what it means. God didn't really mean that. God's up in heaven going, I didn't. There is no co-author, amen? God wrote this book by himself. So Amos, here he comes. Amos comes from following his flock and gathering fruit, and God calls him and says, I have something greater for you to do. Somebody needs to be encouraged by that right there. See, because right now you could be in the mail room, amen, in the basement of the building, and God will, can come to you on one day and say, I have something greater for you to do. You can be toiling away in obscurity, amen, and God will raise you up in his perfect timing and tell you, I have something for you to do. Continue to be faithful in what you're doing, though, amen. Understand that Amos gets his call when he was doing what? He was following the flock.
Yes.
His flock wasn't just gone. He was doing what at that time in his life was his appointed lot. Come on, somebody. Amen. Look at all the time God comes to people. It's when they're in the midst of doing what they were supposed to be doing at that hour. Where was David when he got anointed the next king? He was out with the flock. What was Moses doing before God introduced himself to Moses at the burning bush? Moses was out there tending Jethro's sheep. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
What were those shepherds doing, amen, when the angel came and said, behold, amen, I bring you good tidings of great joy. They were abiding in the field, tending to their flock. I'm telling you, it seems to me, I take from this, that God doesn't like idleness all that much, amen. If you want to sit by being idle, maybe you are disqualifying yourself from hearing from God. Do what you should be doing at the hour appointed, and maybe God will come and speak a word to you and say, I have something greater for you to do. Don't despise what you're doing. If you're in the mail room, be the best person in the mail room. If you're sweeping the street, be the best street sweeper you can be, amen. You're scrubbing floors, scrub those floors, amen. You, whatever you're doing, what the world may say is menial, don't worry about that. All honest work is noble, amen. You continue to ply your trade. You continue to do what you're going to do. And you may be setting yourself up to hear from God to calling you to something greater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amos was tending with his flock, and God called him to something greater. Said, "Okay, you have to leave here. You gotta go up north. I got a word for you." And he comes into Israel. It's interesting to know that he comes into Israel at a time of peace and prosperity. Peace and prosperity. He comes into Israel at a time when things are going well. Amen. Ain't got no enemies attacking them. None of that. Money is flowing. And he comes in there with a word of judgment. How many of you know? People don't want to hear words of judgment when things are going well. You know why? Because sometimes we tend to base our standing with God on our particular circumstances at the time. That is one of the biggest mistakes you could ever make. To believe that because you are flowing in peace and prosperity, that you are doing things that are right in God's eyes. That's a big mistake. And you know what's also a big mistake? To think just because somebody is struggling and toiling at the moment, that somehow they are in disfavor with God. Amen. Don't ever do that kind of thing, amen? No. Don't ever do that. Just because things are flowing well with you, don't mean God is pleased with you. Come on, somebody. And just because things are hard for you right now, does not mean God is displeased with you. Exactly. It's not that simple. And so he goes up there to the northern kingdom, and they're flowing in peace and prosperity, and they just think everything is okay. And here he comes with this message. He's coming with a message of judgment. But they're flowing, amen. But the problem was they weren't living right. How many of you know you can have abundance and not be living right?
True.
Hmm? A whole lot of people got abundance, they ain't living right. And these people were not living right. They were being hypocrites. They were greedy. They were oppressing the poor. They were involved in all manner of injustice. And if that wasn't enough, they were engaged in idolatry. Because when the kingdom split, and the northern kingdom, amen, the 10 tribes up there, we have Judah and part of Benjamin, you know, in the southern kingdom. And then up there, the first thing Jeroboam did, and Jeroboam, Jeroboam has the worst name in the Bible. Not his name, but what follows his name. Jeroboam, the man who caused Israel to sin. That's a terrible moniker right there, amen. Jeroboam, the man who caused Israel to sin. Because when he went up there and he established the northern kingdom, he got concerned because, see, Jerusalem was in the south. And that was the place everybody worshiped. And so he was concerned. And so he set up places of worship in Bethel and in Dan. And he didn't let anybody be a priest. Not just Levi, is anybody. Not just on the line of Aaron, anybody. You want to be a priest? Done. I mean, you want to be one too? You got it. Set of false worship. Why? Because he didn't want the people traveling down to Jerusalem and perhaps, amen, saying, "I don't want to be up here anymore." So he said, "You don't have to go down there to worship. We can worship up here." And he set up all this. But the problem was, amen, they were trying to do two things. They were trying to worship God and worship Baal at the same time. They were trying to worship God and set up them Asherah poles at the same time. And so the people, amen, at this time, amen, they're going through this, but they're flowing in peace and prosperity. And so they think nothing is wrong. Oh, man, that should make us take a pause for a moment, because at those times in our lives when things are going right, you know what? You still, and I still, and we still can be in a place where we're going further and further away from God. And not even know it. And they didn't know it. And so God has sent Amos to them to preach a word of to say, listen, you need to repent. How many know God is merciful? Before the judgment comes, he's going to give us an opportunity to turn from what we're doing and to return unto him and live right. And so God said through Amos, he said, I tried to get them to repent. He said, I set famine on you, but you wouldn't repent. I withheld the rain from you, but you wouldn't repent. I set blight and mildew into your communities, but you wouldn't repent. Then I set locusts, but you wouldn't repent. I set plagues, and you wouldn't repent. I killed your young men in war. But you wouldn't repent. I destroyed your cities like Sodom and Gomorrah, and you still wouldn't repent. And then, if you want to look with me, amen, in Amos chapter 4, verse number 12, after saying all of that to the nation, God says unto them, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God.
Wow.
I tried to get you to change. But since you don't want to change, prepare to meet your God. Uh-oh. And that's what God is saying to us this morning. Prepare to meet your God. Why is he saying this? Well, it goes back to what we see in Amos chapter 7. Because there's a word that we see four times in verses 7 to 9 and that we don't often see anywhere else and we don't often use. And it's the word plumb line. Verse 7, it says that Amos sees a vision. And it's interesting that prior to this, amen, God was talking about, amen, he was going to send a plague of locusts. And Amos said to God in verse number 2, don't do this to Jacob because he's too small. And it says the Lord repented for this. In verse number 3, he said, I'm not going to do it. And then in verse 4, God said he's going to set fire to destroy the land. And Amos said, don't do this because Jacob is too small. And God repented from this, and he said, okay, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. And now he sees a third vision, and this vision is of God standing upon a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand. What in the world is a plumb line? Because otherwise, none of this makes any sense. What's a plumb line? A plumb line is a measuring tool. It's a rope with a small, heavy object on the end of it. And it's used to build things and to make sure that they're vertical, especially a wall. How many of you know you don't want to build a building with a leaning or crooked or warped wall?
Right?
And so builders, amen, would use a plumb line to make sure that the wall was straight. To make sure that the wall was upright. And God stands on a wall that was made with a plumb line. So what does that mean? That wall was perfectly vertical. It was straight. It was upright. God is standing on the wall made with a plumb line, and he has a plumb line in his hand. This is what Amos has seen. And God says to him, what do you see, Amos? And Amos said, I see a plumb line. And God says, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people. What is God saying? I'm going to set in the midst of my people a measuring instrument to see whether or not they are standing upright. I'm going to place in the midst of them a measuring implement to see if they are standing upright. And what do you think that plumb line is made of? It's God's word, his will, his way. It's his standard. Amen. That God says these people are living the way they want to live. They're flowing in peace and prosperity and think everything is all right. But yet they're oppressing the poor and they're robbing from this one and they're offering or they're taking bribes and they're working all kinds of injustice and they're engaged in idolatry. And I told them to stop, and they're not listening. So now I'm going to set my plumb line in their midst. Wow. Why? Because here's the funny thing about us as people. We can begin to see things from our own point of view and be convinced we're right. Oh, my goodness. Do you remember the book of Judges? Do you remember how the book of Judges ends? The last line in the book of Judges, the last verse, and I believe it's verse, it's chapter 21. But the last verse said, in those days, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not going to get it exactly right. In those days, there was no king in Israel.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And so every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Uh-huh. Oh, that's a dangerous place to be. That was a that's a solemn epitaph on the book of Judges, because it lets you know trouble's coming, amen. Trouble is coming. Because if man has no king, yes, and especially God's people, how many of you know? God's people, amen, the Lord was always supposed to be the king of his people.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
When they went to Samuel and said, give us a king like the other nations. That was never God's will.
Yes.
He was supposed to be the king of Israel. But they didn't want a king. Right? They didn't want a king. I mean, they didn't have a king. They wanted one. But here's the thing. God was supposed to be their king. They kicked God out, and then they want to bring men in.
Yes.
What kind of nonsense is that? But they did what was right in their own eyes. And the problem with doing things that are right in your own eyes is that, how many of you know that we can deceive ourselves so terribly? When God says, be not deceived in the Bible, and that phrase is used in various ways many, many times, be not deceived, he's not talking about Satan deceiving you. He's talking about, don't you deceive yourself. Be not deceived. But when we are looking at things from our own point of view, we can deceive ourselves in believing that we are doing everything right. I'm okay with God. God is pleased with me. Or the infamous one, God understands. But how many of you know God can understand and God sees and God knows and God can be displeased even at a time when you are flowing in peace and prosperity? Don't be deceived, amen? Don't be deceived. There's a big difference between our own standards that we hold up as to what is right in a given situation and what God says by his plumb line. But see, now God's going to come next to you, and he's going to come next to me, and he's going to come next to all of us, and he's going to say, stand up.
Wow.
Let me put my plumb line in the midst of you. Why, Lord? Because I want to see if you're standing upright, or if you're leaning to the left, leaning to the right, leaning back, leaning forward. Because if you are, I'm going to need to straighten you up. Prepare to meet your God. Amen. God needs to straighten us up. Everybody in here needs to be straightened up.
Yes. Amen.
Don't talk about it. Talk about it. Talk. Speak for yourself. None of us in here got it down pat on every point. None of us. And it's not about who got it worse than the other. Right? You and I, individually and collectively, what do we want to do? We want to live a life that is pleasing in the Lord's sight.
Yeah.
Don't we?
Yeah.
We want to please the God who has done so much for us. The God who has saved our soul. The God who has healed us when we were sick. The God who has comforted us when we were down and out. The God who's been our strength when we were weak. We want to be able to please that God, don't we? But we can't please God living the way we want to live. We need a plumb line in the midst of us. But understand that before God put the plumb line there, he said to them, change your ways. Change your ways. I'm not going to change. Well, fine. Here's some family. Still not going to change, Lord. No, you're still not going to change. Okay. Here's some drought. Still not going to change. Still, that's the way I am. I grew up this way. I got Indian in my blood. You ain't got no Indian in you. And if you did, why that mean you got to act a fool? What you saying? Oh, there's an easy one sitting right there for me right now. But I'm going to leave it alone. Send some stuff into your life. I'm going to send some problems into your life. But you still haven't changed, Israel.
Wow.
But is he just talking to Israel? Or is he also talking to you and me? Any things coming to your life?
Yes.
And you still doing the same stuff? I sent that problem into your life, child of God, because I need you to turn from that way and do things according to my But you still walk around with that attitude. You had that attitude since the fifth grade. That's how you always responded when people didn't do stuff for you. That's how you always responded when it rained on your side of the street. And you're still doing it today. And you're 47 years old. Come on, somebody. Time for me to set a plumb line in your midst. I send people your way to talk to you. I send people your way to encourage you. I send people your way to be an example. I've sent you to a good church. I've opened up doorways for you and exposed you to the right way of living. And you still are doing the same thing. It's time for me to set the plumb. Come on, somebody. Prepare to meet your God. If you've been walking around doing the same thing for the last 15, prepare to meet your God. Why? Because it's time out for this. Come on, somebody. This world is going crazy, and God needs some people who are going to stand up and live by his standard and not anybody else's.
True.
People shooting up stuff and doing all kinds of crazy things, and God needs people who are going to live and say, I'm not doing that. I'm going to be a light in a crooked and perverse generation. Come on, somebody. I'm going to be a beacon on the top of a hill. I may not have many friends, but it's not about my friends here on earth. It's about my God who's in heaven.
Amen.
Amen? And if God needs me to change, if God needs me to drop a way of thinking, if God needs me to give up a habit, if God needs me to change my speech, if God needs me to walk differently, if God needs me to talk, then I need to just do what God is asking me to do.
Yes.
And if I'm not willing to do that, even after all the things he sent into my life, then prepare to meet your God, because he's about to set a plumb line in the midst.
Come on, somebody.
This ain't Amos talking to Israel that had nothing to do with us today. How many of you know God is a God of standards, and you got to live by God's standards? I heard David Jeremiah this morning. We were getting ready for church, and David Jeremiah was on, and he's teaching. He's been teaching out of the book of what you call the book, Song of Solomon, mm-hmm. for the last month and a half, 2 months, and he was concluding today. And he was talking about, amen, that he used to do counseling for husbands and wives. And he said that he had husbands, he heard plenty of time husbands say things like, well, you just don't understand. I just don't love her anymore. Mm-hmm. So he said to the man, he said, oh, so you just going to disobey God? And the guy said, what are you talking about? No, you must didn't hear me. I said I just don't love her anymore. And David Jeremiah said, oh, okay, so you just want to disobey God. He said, what are you talking about? He said, it says in the Bible, husbands, love your wives.
Yeah.
As Christ loves the church. But see, that's the thing, that's the problem. But see, you got to the point, I just don't. And because I don't, I'm not. But how many of us do the same thing? Amen?
Wow.
The plumb line says you need to forget. Well, I'm just not ready.
Wow.
Really? Prepare to meet your God, because you've been like that for the last 20 years, and it's time for you to finally learn. I'll put the plumb line in the mix. Come on, somebody. Do you hear God saying, time out? It's an urgency now. Huh? It's an urgency now. You've been getting right for a long time. And God said, now it's time for you to measure up, my child. Why? Because God needs people now in these days. This world is going crazy, and God needs people who are willing to stand up and show forth his goodness in this earth. Can he count on you? Can he count on me? Can he count on us? Now understand something. Watch this. God says, I'm going to send grasshoppers. And Amos said, don't do that. They're too small. Okay, I won't. But I'm going to send fire. Don't do that, God. They're too small. Okay, I won't do it. But tell me this, Amos. What do you see right now? Let me see, Lord. I see a plumb line. I'm setting a plumb line in the midst of my people. And look what he says in verse number 8. I'm setting a plumb line in the midst of my people. And then he says, I will not again pass by them anymore. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Amplified version says, amen, I will not pass by and spare them anymore. The door of mercy is shut. I pass by on those other things because you asked me to, Amos. Grass, I'm okay, I'm going to pass on that. Oh, don't do the fire? Okay, I'm going to pass on that. But I ain't passing on my standard. Don't want somebody. I ain't passing on my standard. And see, I ain't passing by them on that one. And well, how many of you know, if God ain't passing by, guess what? He's passing through. Amen. If he ain't passing by, he passing through. Amen. I'm going to set the plumb line in the midst of you. And I'm passing through to see if you measure up. Come on.
Wow.
How many of you know it's time to measure up? Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. It's time. Amen. It's time. God is calling all of us. He's calling all of us to lay down and set down those things, amen, that are not of him, that are not of his standard. Amen. And it's not to say that you're a bad person. It's not about that. It's not about that. It's not always about a bad attitude. Sometimes it's about an overly good one. That nevertheless is tainted by bad motive. You do a lot of good things.
Yeah.
But you do it so that people can pat you on your back. I got to measure you.
Wow.
I got to measure you. I got to. God pronounced this word to the northern kingdom. But I want you to look at something. I want you to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 21. We have to understand what God is saying to us now. God needs us to make a change.
Amen.
Why do I say God needs us? Because we're his hands and his feet here on the earth. We're his mouthpieces. We're his eyes and his ears. We're his servants. We're his ambassadors. We're his representatives. Amen. The ambassador is a government representative. And the government shall be on his shoulders. And we are ambassadors for Christ. Amen. Government representatives in this earth for the kingdom of God. How many of you know that the United States of America will pull back an ambassador who goes across the seas and starts doing things that's not consistent with the government of the United States?
Yes.
They would pull that joker back so fast. You ain't representing our country like that. So why does God's ambassadors for Christ, why should an ambassador of Christ believe that he or she can go and represent God any way they want to? Because that's the way I am. That's how I feel right now. As if that's the governing, it's not your feelings, it's God's plumb line. No one likes me. You know, God's talking to all of us.
Yes.
I don't have it. I'm just sitting up here because I'm the one that got the mic. And you're hearing it for the first time. I've been hearing it all week. So I don't feel sorry for you. You stepping on my toe. I don't have any toes left. After service, I need somebody to lay hands on me. Amen. Yeah, I don't think there's anyone in here who doesn't know and will readily acknowledge it, whether in front of other people or not, but certainly, you know, when you're by yourself, that there's something that you know need to change in your life. I don't think there's anybody in here. There's nobody in here. Amen. And if you are, you can say, but I'm leaving real fast after this. So I don't get caught up in the hell and brimstone that may come down. But all of us know that, don't we? I mean, none of us are so caught up that we don't believe that we don't need to make changes, right? And if we're really honest, I mean, a lot of us will say that there's some things that I have been needing to change for quite a while. And you know, if you think about it, you know, you go look back over some of the things in your life, maybe God did send some famine, and maybe God did withhold the rain, and maybe God did do some of these things that he did to the nation of Israel. And when they didn't repent and change it, and maybe I've done the same thing. Maybe that period of unemployment in my life was God sending famine. But I didn't change. Maybe that period when everybody in my family was doing great things. And I'm sowing and I'm sowing and I'm sowing and nothing's coming back. Maybe because there was drought in my life. But I'm doing the same things. Because God in his mercy brought me through that season. I didn't stay there forever. And so now, you understand? Maybe we need to examine and say, you know what? Do I have any of these things? The withholding of the rain, the locusts, the plagues. Do I have any of that stuff?
When God said this thing, I've killed your young men in war, and you still wouldn't listen. You know what? You know what spoke to my spirit? Maybe that's what's happening on those streets.
Wow.
I'm just talking about here on the streets in this country. I ain't talking about no battlefield across the seas.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's happening on our streets. Young men being killed in turf wars.
Yeah.
Drug wars.
Yeah.
And we still ain't listening.
Wow.
I'm setting a plumb line. Prepare to meet your God. We went to 2 Kings, right?
Yes.
Chapter 21. Manasseh was the king of Judah. Now, Judah is the southern kingdom. Amos also pronounced judgment on Judah. If you read the opening chapters of Amos, amen? Chapter 1, maybe the beginning of chapter 2. But he pronounced judgment on six nations surrounding Israel. Then he pronounced judgment on Judah. And the people of Israel probably were like, yeah, that's right. You know what I mean? And it's funny, when other people get judgment on them, yeah, that's right. This message is for you. And then Amos spent the rest of the book pronouncing judgment on Israel. But God's standards are God's standards. Whether it's Israel or Judah, amen. Whether it's right in the church or out the church, God's standards are going to prevail. And so Manasseh was the king of Judah. And Manasseh, who was the son of Hezekiah, who was a righteous king, but Manasseh was evil. And he did the same kind of things. Amen. He built altars, and he, you know, the idolatry, the oppression, the violence, the wickedness, amen. And if you look in verse number 10, they talked about how Manasseh wouldn't listen to him. And the Lord spake by his servant the prophet, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did. That's really bad when God said, you've done worse than pagan people, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whoever hears of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria, and the plummet, or the plumb line of the house of Ahab. And I will wipe, look at this, I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipes a dish.
Wow.
Wiping it and turning it upside down.
Wow.
Come on, somebody.
God's come to his, he's come to his people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll wipe you like a man wipes a dish. Now, God is so merciful, and we should be so glad. He doesn't get to that point right away. But my God, why should we even draw near to something like that?
Yeah.
Behold the goodness and the severity of God. That's what Paul said in the book of Romans, amen. Too many times we want to focus on the goodness of God. But Paul said, behold the goodness and the severity of God. God is a God of goodness, but he's also a God of judgment.
Yes, he is.
And we just can't simply keep doing any old thing we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And have an explanation for why we're doing it. And think it's okay.
Exactly.
It's not your plumb line. It's God's plumb line. And don't you feel like you're standing upright and doing everything because in your mind, it's right. You're no good. You're no better than the people at the end of the book of Judges who were doing what was right in their own eyes. Come on, people. We got to do it the way God wants us to do it. Amen? Huh? Jeremiah is right. Husbands, love your wife. And the wife said, amen. A little bit of neck. You heard that. Why submit unto your husband as unto the Lord?
Amen.
And the man said, honey, can I say amen?
gosh.
But come on, man. Is that the plumb line?
Yes.
Hmm? Uh-huh. Are we always doing it that way? No.
No.
We do it the way we want to do it, right? And we got a reason for why we're not doing it the way God wants, don't we? Because she's been getting on my nerves. Right? Don't we make it simple?
Yeah.
I'm not talking to her because she's been getting on my nerves. That's what we do. Wife call you from upstairs, you pretend you don't hear it.
No.
Make her say it again. Why are you going to do that, Holy Spirit? Because she's been getting on my nerves. You tell God she's been getting on my nerves.
Wow.
Somebody need to go back to the book of Genesis and understand when Adam said, "It's the woman you gave me, Lord," it didn't go over too well with him either. We just have to, amen, let's examine ourselves and go to God and say, God, where do I need to make the change? Because here's the good news. God's a merciful God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's a merciful God. If he wasn't, we'd all be consumed by now.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. We'd all be consumed. So praise God for his mercy. And praise God that plumb line, amen, is not just for building, come on somebody, but it's also for rebuilding.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Amen. And so if you're standing a little bit crooked today, don't despair. Amen. The plumb line is going to be the tool by which God rebuilds you. Hmm? How many of you know, amen, you've been reborn? So you're going to have to be rebuilt. But the standard by which you and I are going to be rebuilt and reborn and reconfigured and refashioned is God's standard and is found in this book. It ain't your friend's standard. It's not your own standard. It's not what I feel like standard. It's not this is what I do on Wednesday standard. It's not none of that stuff. And it got nothing to do with your lineage, whether you got some this in you, that in you, this in you, that in you. It had nothing to do with that. It has to do with what this book says. And God said, I'm placing this book in the midst of you. How many of us would act differently if we visually could see the book placed in the midst of us? Hmm? Hmm? Amen. Prepare to meet your God. And we're all going to be prepared to meet him. Amen. And see, he said to Israel as a way of saying, look, you've been so hard-headed, you don't want to listen, judgment now is coming. But I believe God is saying it unto us, and this is the good news for us, and I believe he's saying it unto us this morning in a different way. He's telling us, amen, he's encouraging us, get ready. Come on, somebody, you hear what God says? Get ready.
Yes, sir.
See, God wants to come into your life and make that move that you've been longing for, but you got to get ready for him. Amen. And part of the getting ready for him, amen, is to measure up yourself by his standards so that when he comes, amen, that you can stand before him boldly and come boldly before the throne of grace because now you're not afraid and ashamed because you know you haven't been doing stuff right. How many of you know your prayers are hindered when you know you haven't been living right?
Yeah.
You pray half-heartedly, amen. You pray quick, fast, and in a hurry because you feel what? Ashamed. Prepare to meet your God, amen. God said, I want to come into your life and do that thing that you're longing to do, but you got to prepare to meet me. You got to prepare for me to come in and to usher myself into your situation. And the way you're going to be prepared is that you're going to have to measure up to my plumb line. Amen? So today, amen, why don't we just purpose within our hearts, amen, that I'm not going to live the way I just want to live anymore. Amen. I'm not going to react in situations simply the way I want to. Oh, nobody said amen on that. We have some work to do. Amen. There's so much in us. Amen. There's so much in us that we do what we feel is right. Because we're good people, aren't we? I go to church. I'm saved. I read the Bible. I read my devotions. I pray.
I do good things, and so when something comes along, I just simply decide what I'm going to do. You can't do that to me, so I'm going to let you know. But the plumb line says, keep quiet. Wow. Brother James, this morning, I felt like opening my mouth and saying some stuff. And next thing I knew, in the spirit, I saw a plumb line.
Come on, somebody. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
It's not about what we want to do.
Amen.
God called for us to change. It's, I can speak for myself. Everybody got to speak for themselves. There's some things in my life that are overdue.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yes. Amen. There's some things that we do. And from this day forward, I'm prepared to meet my God. Amen? Mm-hmm. Meaning, I'm not excusing the stuff that shouldn't be, that's inexcusable,
yeah,
according to God's plumb line. And I encourage you to do the same. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's invest in our feet in prayer. Oh, Lord, help us. Glory to God, help us. Huh. Father, we give your name the praise.
Yes.
Father, you are holy, you are pure, and you are righteous.
Yes.
You set the standard for how we should live. Long ago, you declared, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Yes.
We are to take after you. You are our Heavenly Father, and we should take after our Father. Lord, we ask you to forgive us. Forgive us of all the things and the times and that we just simply did not live up to the standard.
Yes.
Forgive us, oh God, for conducting ourselves in such a way, oh God, as if we can create a second set of standards and that it would be pleasing in your sight. But Father, like Amos, we too see a plumb line. And we hear your voice saying, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people. And I will pass by them no more. God, we understand that you are calling us to make the changes that we need to make right now. You declare, prepare to meet me. Prepare to meet me in the midst of your problems, in the midst of your struggle. Don't just come there expecting me to be there. Prepare to meet me. And if you want to see me in all of my glory, in all of my power, in all of my majesty, then there's some things that are crooked that need to be straightened up in your life. I hold the plumb line in the midst of my people. So, Father, we thank you for the plumb line. Because, Father, we believe that as we straighten up by the power of the Holy Ghost and by your grace, that, Lord, that we will meet you in our various situations,
yes,
and circumstances. We will meet you on the mountaintop. We will meet you in the valley. We will meet you in the plain. We will meet you in the desert. We will meet you wherever we may be because, God, we have fashioned our lives according to your standards.
Yes. Yes.
We will be people of power and authority. We will walk on the face of this earth, and everywhere our foot shall tread shall belong unto us. The blessing of Abraham will flow so powerfully in our lives that we will just be a blessing going around blessing people in abundance. But we have to measure up. God, we thank you for the plumb. We thank you for your mercy and grace up until now, but we also thank you, Lord, for your word, oh God, that is imploring us to make the changes,
yes,
that we need to make, that we may be prepared to meet you and to go wherever you would have us to go and do whatever you would have us to do, that the name of Jesus will be lifted up in this earth,
yes,
and you, oh God, will be glorified. Father, we bless you and we praise you for it all now. Have your way.
Have your way.
do your work. And all praise be unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.